Hello and welcome to The Laydown, a Gibson's Bookstore podcast. I'm Ryan. My pronouns are she, her.
I'm Ashley, also she, her.
And I'm Kate, also she, her.
Hey, guys.
Yo.
Hello.
How we doing?
We're doing.
We did it. We survived Indie Bookstore Day.
It was awesome.
And it was awesome, and it was massive, and it was a very good time. And then Kate and I survived Spring Forum.
Woo!
Which was also awesome and a good time. Lots of authors. I got to hang out with Joe Hill. That was fun. It's been a minute since we recorded last, but
it has. And yet, we're still on schedule-ish.
Yeah. Yeah, it, like, simultaneously feels like so much has happened, and also I'm like, have I read anything?
Correct.
Yep.
Have I finished a singular book in that time? Who knows? We'll find out together as I open my story graph.
We're halfway through May, and I don't remember April and March happening.
Mm-mm.
I know they did.
I think I think we found a portal.
Not again.
We do that.
A time hole.
This month may or may not have a theme. In that we kind of came up with a few different themes, and then first we couldn't pick one, and then we picked one, and then realized we'd all kind of talked about all those books already recently, and then so now we've left each other to our own devices, and we're just gonna see what happens.
Shenanigans.
Off the leash now.
So buckle up, this is gonna be a good one. I'm excited. But before we get into whatever we've each decided to talk about, we can recap some of our recent reads. So I did this thing where I was waiting for an advanced reader copy of this book because I saw that ARCs had gone out to people. I saw people with physical ARCs, and I was like, oh, I can't wait to get mine. And I was waiting, and I was waiting. And I haven't gotten one yet, but what I did do was I finally went, wait a minute, and I looked on Edelweiss, and it was available as a digital ARC, because of course it was, because they're already sending out physical ARCs, so of course there was a digital ARC on Edelweiss. So anyway, I am currently reading the forthcoming young adult horror novel by Clay McLeod Chapman called Shiny Happy People.
Wow. That was a junior scream. Junior horror.
To use a Clayism, it is real, real good.
It's my favorite kind of good.
It is, yeah. Real, real good. R-U-L-L. It is very much on the older side of YA, so I think a lot of adult horror readers will like this one a lot. I don't want to compare him to himself, but it's a little bit like What Kind of Mother, but for teenagers. Ghost Eaters, but for teenagers. So there's a drug, it does funky things to you, and the people who are not addicted to this drug are like, horrifying things are happening. Make it stop. But that's sort of where the comparison ends, I will say. But so in Shiny Happy People, it's set in this like suburbia where this town previously had been home to all of these, like, I think nicotine factories. Like, it was very much like cigarette factories everywhere, and then those shut down, and then this like organic company called Botanics like bought out those factories and started producing their like healthy, you know, green drinks and like things like that. So that kind of like refueled this town. They like sponsor the school, so like the school is really like nice because they have all this money from this company, and it's like this very like they love this company because it gives them things that they previously did not have, because the cigarette companies had all shuttered. So when this pill starts showing up at parties and people start taking it, and they take it and they have this horrifying seizure, and then all of a sudden it ends and they're just like so calm and put together, and like everything about them is like shiny and happy.
Totally nothing weird going on here.
It's a little bit like, gee, I wonder what company might be producing this.
What a mystery.
And weird how it's showing up everywhere. It is very unsettling. It is very good. The party scenes are really, like, the way he describes how, like, muggy the environment is, and like everyone is just covered in this like film of sweat because they're all wicked high on this weird drug. Like, it's just, I'm just like, oh my god, I'm so glad I was not part of the party scene in high school. Like, this is disgusting. And it has this like flip side interesting perspective where the main character is very like straight edge. She's totally sober because when she was 4, her bio mom, who was addicted to all kinds of horrible things, just up and disappeared, like left her in the apartment for days, and so this little kid was like found and brought into foster care and stuff, and so she's grown up being like, yeah, I don't want any part of that. And so she is now horrified to see like her friends and peers and even some of the trusted adults in her life succumbing to this. I am a little over halfway through, and it is like so hard to put down. It is so, so good. It's starting to get into some more body horror right now, and I'm very excited about it because
weird.
Clay does such good body horror. So I very much recommend Shiny Happy People. I believe it comes out later this year. I want to say maybe this summer, but don't quote me on that because I don't have the physical arc, so I can't just look at the date right now. I don't have it available to me, but it is available for pre-order, so do that. So I'm reading that. I'm also reading, I won't give you too many details, but it is very cool that I am beta reading for an author that I like a lot.
Ooh.
And I literally have, like, a Word document on my computer right now.
Love that.
From this author. And it's just, my life is really weird. Like, how did I get here? That's just, it's just very, very cool. I have read a few things since we last talked that I do want to shout out. I finally read Bat Eater and Other Names for Cora Zhang.
Such a good cover.
Mm-hmm.
Such a good cover. Such a good book.
Nice.
It's pandemic horror.
Ooh.
Which, like, I just never, I don't know, I just, like, didn't read the summary or anything. I went in totally knowing nothing about this book. And, yeah, it's about a Chinese girl named Cora Zhang dealing with the events of 2020 and, you know, the racism of people calling her and her family bat eaters and blaming them for the pandemic. And it opens with a horrible racist man just shrieking at her sister and then pushing her in front of a train.
Oh my god.
She's loose.
That's how it opens.
Woo.
And
feel good hit of the summer.
Feel good hit of the summer. And Cora Zhang now is a like crime scene cleaner. And so it's her kind of like going to these really grisly often murder sites, and she kind of can just compartmentalize, but she and her the two people that she cleans with start to realize that there might be a serial killer.
Ooh.
And the like cops haven't really noticed, but because they're the ones cleaning, they're like, I am seeing similarities, and I think there's a serial killer. And that's how the story unfolds. And it is so good and gross and amazing. I loved it so much. So that is by Kylie Lee Baker. It is out. So if people have been kind of walking by that and just being like, oh, that looks cool, or like, oh, it's got a bat on the cover, whatever, like, pick it up. Because it's actually, it's so good. I also read one called Bitter is the Heart by Mina Hardy. This came out recently. It's got a really scary-looking pair of scissors on the cover, and I was like, what is this going to be about? Like, I genuinely don't know. Turns out it's Jewish horror with a possession bend to it. Whoa. Really good, really scary. It's like this young woman who left home kind of young, and now she's back, and she has to take care of her elderly mother, who seems to have rapidly declining dementia, her mom's like kind of weird. I mean, it, not because of the dementia. Her mom is like a little bit scary, and they had a bad relationship before anyway, which is why she left home. But she's kind of like, all right, you know, I should do my part. My sister's been taking the brunt of this, blah, blah, blah. So she's back home. She's taking care of her mom, who has been kicked out of the assisted living home. And no one else will take her.
Oh, dear.
And they won't tell her why. Mm-hmm. They're just like, absolutely not. No. And so, she's, it's like, her mom just keeps, like, doing things or saying things that are so, like, out of character. And then she'll just, like, whoop, be like, oh, I don't know why I said that. I'm so sorry. And so you're like, oh, it's the dementia. It's this or that. It might be, or it might be a demonic possession. And maybe it's been there, like, all along.
Oh, no.
It's so good. And I loved it even more than I thought it was going to. Like, it started and I was like, oh, I'm down with this. And then by the end, I was like, that was amazing. Another book that I had tried to read a while back, but I kept zoning out and getting distracted and then, like, forgetting what had happened and, like, losing the context, and so I couldn't finish it. I finally sat down and focused and listened to it, and it was great. It's called Someone You Can Build a Nest In.
Yes!
I know Kate loves this. I think maybe Kat has also read it or is thinking about reading it. This is one of those books that, like, so many people were talking about when it first came out, and people were recommending it a lot for our bog display, and things like that. And I kept being like, yeah, for sure. And like, I would try to listen to it and I would just, it jumps in so immediately into the meat of the story that I was like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know who these characters are, which is fine. Except I would then zone out for a second, cause I'd be like driving. And then all of a sudden I would tune back in and be like, wait, what has happened? I don't know what's going on right now. So I finally, like, really dialed in, and it is great and gross and beautiful. Like, it's, like, a really beautiful love story, and also it's disgusting.
There's a lot of goop.
There's so much goop. And
true love.
Yeah! And it's really sweet. I don't know. I liked it so much. There's also, like, mother-daughter trauma. it's just really, really good.
And it has a great cover.
It has a really good cover. Like, I don't know.
That was what got me.
There's monsters, but are they really monsters? Or is it just humans calling something a monster because they don't understand it? Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
But it is one that I would say, like, for folks who maybe tried it and it didn't click right away, like, consider giving it another chance. Because once you get like, into it, like, a few chapters in, it really clicks and just, like, flies from there and is so good and beautiful.
It just came out in paperback this week, too, so if that was what was holding you back, perfect. No excuses.
Perfect. I read one of Nat Cassidy's earlier books, a little novella called Rest Stop, which is one of the goriest books I've read so far this year.
Ooh.
And takes place in a little convenience store restroom. This guy is driving to visit his dying grandmother at the hospital, who he freely admits kind of sucks. She's not the best woman in the world, but, you know, he's being a good...
Can't all be winners.
He's being a good kid, and he's going to visit his grandma. Yeah. And he pulls off at this rest stop, and he's, like, gonna get some snacks and whatever, use the restroom, and then get back on the road. And he walks in, and there's no one there. Like, completely empty, and he's like, I'm basically just gonna take some snacks, throw a 20 on the counter, and leave, right? But first, he goes to the bathroom. And he goes to the bathroom, and then he goes to leave the bathroom, and the door is locked from the outside.
Uh-oh.
And he cannot leave the bathroom. And then horrible, horrible things start to happen. And I can't even, it's so short that I don't even want to, like, give examples of what happens because, like, it's, that is the meat of the story. But, oh my Lanta, there is so, so much, and there's lots of blood, and there's so many googly eyes. I will simply never look at googly eyes the same way again.
Hmm.
Yep. It's real good. We might have a copy here. You can read it in an afternoon. I sure did. Nat Cassidy, what a guy. I was like, dang, I already never want to use a rest stop bathroom, but now I simply won't.
I was thinking about how creepy most of them already are.
Yes!
And then,
on our last trip to climb down south, one of the gas stations we stopped at, I went to pee, and I mean, normally gas station bathrooms are gross.
Yeah.
This one was no exception, but they were trying to be fancy and had like a bidet.
Oh no!
Who are the people using a gas station bidet?
Oh no!
Why is this a thing?
Wow!
Yeah, that is a biohazard.
It was really unsettling.
That is deeply weird.
I'm, like, already one of those people who puts, like, 3 layers of toilet paper on the seat.
Yeah.
And, like, I was like, this one needs a couple extra
layers. Yeah, that is horrifying.
I briefly got trapped in the bathroom in the hotel last week.
Oh, no! Yeah. Oh, yeah, you told me about this.
Yeah, the stalls had doors like a boardroom.
Yeah.
Floor-to-ceiling wood. And you couldn't tell which direction they went, and they didn't really have anything you could grab onto from either direction. So I spent, you know, 30 seconds kind of, oh God, I'm going to die in this bathroom, before I remembered that perhaps I could pull. And I did. And now I'm here in this closet
goodness.
With you guys.
Thank goodness.
Not trapped in a bathroom in Connecticut.
I'm so glad. I would have come looking for you eventually, I promise.
The gas station bidet was also in Connecticut.
There
Connecticut's
you go.
Just got weird bathroom things going on.
What are you doing?
Hey, man, I'm from Connecticut, and it is weird. I can say that with authority.
Oh, gosh. A couple of these other ones I'm going to talk about later, so I will just mention one other one, which I loved, which is called Strange Pictures. It's a book by a person called Uketsu. This is their, like, anonymous persona. They have a persona online where... not unlike Chuck Tingle, like, they don't show their face, they just have this kind of, like, persona. And I don't know much about them. I discovered this book, I hadn't heard nothing about it. Of course, the second I bought it, I got home and realized I had the ARC literally sitting next to my bed. But, you know, I didn't remember that, and it looked slightly different, so who's to blame? But it's great. So it's called Strange Pictures, and It is, it's a series of these, like, tiny stories or, like, vignettes or, you know, little short stories that all center around a strange drawing. One of them is a drawing from a child, and there's, like, a child psychologist talking about, like, yeah, this looks like a normal picture of, like, a house and a mom and a kid and whatever, but, like, look at the way this tree is drawn. That means this. And, like, look at the way this is, right? Kind of, like, getting into the psychology of this perhaps traumatized child who has drawn this picture. And then there's a story about how there was this online blog and there were a series of drawings by the blogger's wife, and then the blogger, like, talked about how the wife was pregnant. They were so excited, and then the blog just stopped being updated, and there were all these conspiracy theorists who were like, I think there's something, some sort of clue in these drawings about what might have happened, things like that. And so, you know, you're kind of getting these, like, one-off stories, and then you realize they are all connected. Mm. And it was the happiest moment when I realized they were all connected, because every time one story would end, I'd be like, I want more! Tell me more about these weird pictures and these weird people! Tell me more! And then you get more. Oh, the lights just turned off on us. Quick, dance! All right, there we go.
I like how we all jumped to the same dance move, too.
Yeah, just flailing.
Pump both arms into the air.
We are three white women. but, yeah, so it is really good. It's a very short book with these even shorter stories within, but they are all connected, and it actually is one story and the mystery at the heart of it. And it is deeply satisfying when you get to the end and everything works together and you're like, oh, that's what happened! Oh my god! It is great. So that is Strange Pictures by Uketsu. I loved it a lot. And that's where I'm going to stop, because there's other books, but I'm going to talk about them later.
Ooh.
A teaser. What have you guys been reading?
I've been reading a lot of picture books.
Yay!
Yay! Which is going to slightly shift our tone here, but don't worry, I'll get weird again.
There's always room for weird.
Always room for weird. So, two really great picture books came out in the last couple weeks. There's Drew Brockington's Kitty Camp, which is a picture book about what happens when you get up to go to summer camp and you get on the wrong bus and it accidentally takes you to a camp that is all cats doing cat things.
What a dream.
The cats drive the bus. The cats are your bunkmates. This girl is the only human there. It's wonderful.
Can I go to that summer camp?
I want to go to cat camp.
I know. I'm trying to figure out how to get on this wrong bus. And not gonna give it away, but at the end, she gets on another wrong bus. Ooh. To an even weirder, wonderful camp.
Hooray!
Sounds like the best summer ever.
Seriously, I want to live in that picture book. It's so bright and happy, and everyone's having a great time, and there are cats everywhere! And they're doing crafts, and driving buses and whatnot. It's wonderful.
What a dream.
So then, after Kitty Camp, we've got Bunny Made Tea by Amanda Bear Fuller, which is just
adorable.
A delightful little story about caring for others, and then when you put that energy out into the world, it comes back to you.
Aww.
And in this book, it comes back to you in the form of possums!
Oh my goodness!
Possum babies! I shrieked with delight at three different illustrations in the book. I just kept turning pages and going, woo! And I loved it. I loved it so much. It's delightful. I'm listening right now to What to Expect When You're Dead by Robert Garland.
Yes!
Which is very fun. Okay. It's kind of the history of ancient people discovering the concept of death and trying to figure out what happens to a body now and what happens to a body later.
Incredible.
And it's wonderful. It's like a textbook primer before Caitlin Doughty. Like,
incredible.
This is what the ancients were up to. Mm. And they were just flying by the seat of their loincloths, I suppose. But it's really fun, and it's one of those great nonfiction listens where it's like having a really long podcast on. So I'm enjoying it, and I'm cackling and replaying bits.
Yeah.
And then the most exciting thing I'm reading right now, there's a new Helen Oyeyemi coming out in August! And
yay!
I love her, she's my favorite, and I didn't even know this was coming out until Ryan tossed this arc to me, and I also screamed and possibly did a little dance. I love Helen Oyeyemi so much. She takes fairy tale tropes and mixes them with folklore and modern anxieties, and just, she's never written anything that I didn't absolutely love. And this is, I'm maybe a third of the way in, and this is already going to be one of my favorites of hers.
Ugh, amazing.
There's a woman who works for a very strange department of a bank that has nothing to do with money. It has to do with, the bank has to do with money, but her department makes matches between people so they can be successful financially later, so they can prove 50 years from now, we have been in a stable relationship all this time and you should give us this grant or whatnot.
Whoa.
It's very strange, but the strangest part is this woman is possibly seven women. There's a different one of her who's responsible for every day of the week, and the book is their journal letting them know what they did on the previous days.
Cool.
And one of them left a guy tied up in the cupboard.
Uh-oh. No,
as
and
you do.
Every day another one finds him, and he tries to talk his way into recognition, and they try to decide what to do with him. And it's just as odd as you'd think it would be, and I'm really, really enjoying it.
Oh, I'm so glad. That sounds amazing.
Oh, yeah. I am not worried about her sticking the ending. She has never let me down. Knock on everything. But, yeah, I can't wait. Comes out in August. It's going to be great. There's no tiger in it. I don't know why I did that. Well, maybe there is a tiger. I'm not all the way in.
I was going to say, there might
time.
Be.
If anybody was going to pull a tiger out of nowhere, it could definitely be Helen Oyeyemi.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been reading lately. How about you, Ashley?
I also have read books since we last talked. So I think I talked about... Yeah, I definitely did. One of my favorites, as of the last time we had talked, was The Elements of Marie Curie, mm-hmm. Dava Sobel. And so one day I was shelving in World History, and there wasn't enough room on the shelf for the thing that I needed to put there, but another of her books caught my eye, and I was like, well, I'll just take that one. And then there was room for this other one.
Give it a good home.
And so I read that one recently. It's called Longitude. It is exactly what it sounds like, about how we discovered longitude and how to measure it. And it's real short. I picked it for my, like, under 200 pager for the reading challenge. Weirdly interesting.
Nice.
It was not a thing I thought I would be interested in, but the way she just, like, writes about stuff, she's not, like... Mary Roach funny, mm-hmm. But she's like Mary Roach engaging.
Nice.
Okay.
So like no matter what she picks, I think it's gonna be a banger. So that one was good. And
was there a big battle between the longitude people and the latitude people?
There was not.
No.
That would have made it better though. Maybe we can do like a historical fiction.
Yeah, that's my next YA novel. Forget about AC and DC.
I also read Our Infinite Fates, which was a YA book that came out not too long ago. The cover caught me. It's very pretty. It had real shiny, pretty edges. The flap blurb was something like, if you liked Book of Doors and Invisible Life of Addie LaRue, I was like, well, I love both of them.
Yeah,
I need
sign
this.
Me up.
I was trying to not buy books that day or week. So I had texted my mom a picture of it, and then she was like, I need that. So nice. I bought it for her and then just read it before I gave it to her. It's incredible. It's by Laura Stephen. I don't remember if it was her debut or not. I don't think so. But it was my first endeavor with her. This couple, for lack of a better word, it keeps getting reincarnated, and they find each other in every single iteration of their lives, and they kill each other.
Amazing.
For reasons. This is the one that I was telling Ryan about one day. When I finished it, I finally went through and read some reviews and decided that I want to start a new book club where the book club meeting, once everyone has finished the book, is then just reading bad reviews of the book. That are just, like, embarrassingly bad. Yeah. So this one, when you get to the end, everything makes sense. It all comes together. You're like, yep, should have seen that coming. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but it ties everything up very, very well, very, very nicely. And, like, more than one of the low reviews for this book was like, couldn't finish it, didn't make sense, so many unanswered questions. I was like, buddy, you just didn't try.
I chose to get annoyed.
Yeah.
And now you have to read about it.
This book didn't answer any of my questions. I got three chapters in.
And yeah.
DNF. Like, what?
So then that was like an extra little like bonus fun read for me. It was just the bad reviews of that one.
Yep.
Definitely recommend. And it's YA, so it goes pretty quick.
Yep.
But I have a weird bias towards YA books where I was like, I don't think they're that well written, which is not even true. And every time I read one, I'm like, oh, wait a second, that was actually really good.
Turns out that was great.
Weird.
Not a lot of people know this, but it's actually pronounced, yeah.
Yeah. I have a tote bag that says, I read YA. And every time I use it, I go, I read ya.
I read ya.
Love that. And then there's some... a bunch of others not as high on my list, but I did get my first 5-star read of the year.
Ooh.
Night Watch, Jane Ann Phillips, lent to me by a friend who is trying to read all of the Pulitzer winners.
Wow.
This one was last year's. I had walked by it a million times and was like, oh, the cover looks kind of good. Never actually like looked at it or figured out what it was about. It's two of my favorite things.
Oh boy.
Civil War and like 19th century mental institutions.
Ooh.
Wow.
Specifically of the Kirkbride ilk, if anyone is also a weirdo and is super into those. So it's a historical fiction about this mom and daughter, and bad things happen during the war, and perhaps worse things happen post-war. But then it kind of comes back together in a happy-ish way, and then is very sad again. So it's a real roller coaster.
Incredible.
There's like enough of the history that's like real that like it makes you wonder if also maybe the story is based on someone real. I didn't do a lot of digging into it because I don't want to be disappointed either way.
Yeah.
Didn't answer all my questions.
But if you're in the mood for a really, really well-researched historical novel, that is just heartbreaking, but also uplifting, and then maybe heartbreaking again, and that's the one. It definitely won the Pulitzer for a reason. And I think that's all I need to talk about. There were others, but... Those were the hits.
Amazing. Did I? So you talking about mental institution books? Did I ever tell you about the the Redemption of Morgan Bright? Chris Panettiere.
Sounds vaguely familiar.
It was the one that Clay McLeod Chapman, like, sent me a message, and he was like, I just met this guy, and I've read his book, You need to read it. It's really good. It's got that, like, old-timey mental institution vibes.
Mm-hmm.
But it may or may not be set in modern day.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's really good. Okay. It's really good.
I'm going to have to borrow that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Add it to the ever-growing pile.
True.
So, for our main topic, I was tempted to just read our text thread because it was a little bit unhinged.
Us? No.
Never.
We had so many ideas. So many. Mother's Day adjacent and others. And ultimately, we kind of just went, well, I want to talk about this. You talk about whatever you want to talk about. So we're each going to do our own little mini topic. So I don't know if one of you specifically wants to start first.
I know Ashley doesn't, so I will jump in. All right. So in all of our going back and forth about mothers and moms and et cetera, I realized I'd already talked a lot about my best worst moms and mom-like people during our last couple episodes. So today I'd like to focus on some honorable momchins. Some characters who are not moms, but are doing all the work of moms and deserve the accolades. Incredible. And there are millions of them. Some of them are real people that I'm sure you know out there in the meat space. But I'm just focusing on a couple of my literary favorites, with my ultimate being Miss Clavel of Madeline.
Oh.
She is responsible for all those little girls. She wakes up in the middle of the night and said, something is not right, and saved our Madeline.
Oh.
Oh, I love you, Miss Clavel. I love you forever.
Love her.
You're an excellent mom.
Oh,
even though you are a nun, so I don't know if you're allowed to be a nun. No, a mom. Speaking of nuns and moms, I also want to shout out Marie of France, who was possibly a real person, ooh, but is definitely the lead in Lauren Groff's Matrix, where she is an abbess to an incredible, intentional, and beautiful community in a... in what was a rundown nunnery that she builds into this fortress, really. Mm. And she is the mother and protector to this whole area. It's awesome. Let's see. I could not talk about any topic without talking about my favorite topic, robots learning feelings.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of those in here. Becky Chambers' representation with Monk and Robot. Mm-hmm. I have to give mom points to sibling Dex, who is the first human to meet a robot in a bajillion years. And the robot, who is a delightful dude named Mosscap, has so many questions about everything. Every single thing. And Dex just patiently guides this hundreds of years old robot toddler through the new world, and it's lovely. Becky Chambers also in A Closed and Common Orbit, second of the Spacefarers. Quadrilogy. There's four of those now, right?
Oh.
Maybe?
Yeah, there might be.
I don't know. Don't ask me about numbers. I'm a word lady. Closed and Common Orbit has a young child who is raised by the AI in a crashed spaceship. Mm. It's just the two of them in a junkyard.
Mm.
And it's just as heartbreaking and wonderful as you think it's going to be. And while that's happening, there's also another character who is AI placed into a human body who's trying to figure it all out, and there's a lot of people momming them
aww
around. And it's, again, it's just so patient and lovely and aww interesting. And there's exciting action and things, too, but yeah. Speaking of action moms, gotta go to my buddy Art, who is a spaceship. in the Murderbot universe, no one is as overprotective and opinionated as Art. If you read that book, I am sure you will see some big mom energy in Art.
Amazing.
Back down with more robots to Clara and the Sun.
Yes!
I mean, there are mom characters in there, but Clara herself is a robot and is learning a lot about what makes the world go round and having to act in a mom role and also possibly receiving mom energy from the titular Sun. But really, Kazuo Ishiguro is, he's the king of a lot of things, but one of them is, he's so good with a stoic caregiver receiving nothing but pain in return. Whether it's Clara and the Sun or Never Let Me Go, where you have all these children filling parental roles, which, you want to feel bad? Go read that. But, like, good, bad. And even Remains of the Day with this genteel butler who turns his entire life off for the care of this wealthy guy who just does not even consider him human, and the way that he throws away his life for the ungrateful lives of others is very mom. So good job, moms. And last but not least, second to last.
Ooh.
Second to last, all the children collectively from Lydia Millett's Children's Bible. The parents are having a woe is me sad sack party as the world starts to end, and they are too drunk and stupid and caught up in their own petty nonsense to do anything, and the children keep them safe.
Wow.
And the children take care of each other, the children deal with animals, the children deal with this flooding, the children are the moms. And then my final child, mom. There is a gang of incredible street children in Tamsin Muir's Nona the Ninth. And the street children, some of whom are named Born in the Morning, some of whom are named Beautiful Ruby, one who is just Kevin. They are led by a tough-as-nails little girl named, a tough-as-nails little girl named Hot Sauce. And even their teacher does not know Hot Sauce's real name, and Hot Sauce will not tell anyone anything about herself. And Hot Sauce rules them all with an iron fist and is their protector and angel of vengeance. Oh, Hot Sauce, I don't know what happened to your mom, but you're being a great mom to everybody else. Honorable Mom Chums. Sparkle fingers.
Oh, man. I've been meaning to read Nona since, like, the announcement of it, and I just haven't done it yet, but that might do it.
You really have to listen to Nona.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, reading it is great, too, but Moira Quirk, who does all of the Locked Tomb books, has an individual accent for every one of these little children.
Oh, my God.
Some of them have little stuffy noses, and they've all got little tough British voice. It's just...
Oh, I love
that little army of street children so much, and their voices are just so delightful. And Nona is also being raised by a trio of, reanimated, reincarnated, dual personality, space warrior, messiah characters.
Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah.
And she might be one of those too, so mom's for everybody.
Hooray!
Hooray!
Ashley, do you want to go?
Oh, sure.
With your paper of chaos.
It is paper of chaos. I was scrolling through whatever dumb website on the internet that tells you all the things that are celebrated in May, and there are a lot, and it's a very eclectic mix, and some of them are cool, and some of them are absurd, and I picked mostly real ones. beginning with Jewish American Heritage Month, which basically, my list just ended up being one author's entire catalog. Jonathan Safran-Foer, one of my all-time favorites. The first book of his I ever read was Everything is Illuminated, which I made my list, and then I was like, oh my god, this is the first time that, like, everything is fiction.
Why?
But... but then it wasn't, because I realized that in addition to Everything is Illuminated, which is semi-real, it's a character named Jonathan Safran-Foer goes to Ukraine to try to track down this, like, mystery woman who helped out helped his grandfather escape the Nazis. Shenanigans ensue. He did really make that trip in real life. This is a very fictionalized version of it. It is delightful. And then I remembered that he also wrote a couple of nonfictions, so I scribbled them in too, so that I am not letting myself down. I don't know.
You're staying true to yourself.
So that was my first one of his. Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close also is incredible. 9/11 happens, and the dad of this family is killed in the attack. And then a little 9-year-old kid finds this key in dad's office at home, or whatever, closet at home. And the only hint to it is, like, the name Black. And so he decides that he's going to find every person with the last name Black in New York City and try to figure out what this connection is.
Oh, my gosh.
To have that sort of time.
Right? Oh, my gosh.
So this one, also one of my chaos arrows on my paper, is that our original plan of Mom's Day, Linda, the mom in the book, would have been one of my good moms, because she knows that he's, like, gallivanting around New York City as a 9-year-old, just meeting strangers, and she lets it happen. She's very aware of everything that's going on. She protects the situation without ever interfering.
Aww.
And it's just a really, really sweet story. And so then his two nonfictions that I love and would want to shout out. Eating Animals came first of these two, in which he was trying to decide if he was going to raise his kiddo to be vegetarian. Ultimately, yes, he also is vegetarian. And then a few years later, We Are the Weather came out, and sort of, like, revisiting the same topic. Can't remember if he ends up altering, like, the way he eats, but the overall point of that one is, like, plant-based is the way to go. It's gonna help save the earth as best we can, but for anyone who's like, no, I don't want to do that, even just cutting down on meat a teeny tiny bit, like, don't eat it for one meal.
Yep.
Like, that'll help.
Yep.
So those are my Jonathan Safran-Foer month. It is also AAPI month. A billion years ago, I got home from work and I had a package. I had not ordered anything. Did not know what this was. I opened it. It was a compressed disc of tea and a book called The Tea Girl of Hummingbird Lane by Lisa C., sent to me by my mom. She's like, I just finished this, you need to read it.
Oh, that's so cute.
I was like, okay. And it is about this family, mountains of China, cultivating tea, farming tea in, like, super old ways. It's like a multi-generational sort of thing. And so one of the main characters is a youngish woman, has a baby out of wedlock, doesn't want it to get killed, as was a thing that would happen at the time. So she bundles it up, leaves it orphanage adjacent. Something happens. She doesn't know. She goes back up into the mountains and lives her life with a lot of support from her mom. Baby gets adopted. I believe ends up in California. And then there's, it's just, like, a lot of, like, multi-generational mother-daughter connection across time, across oceans. And you end up learning a lot about tea.
Amazing.
Nice.
It's really, really good. Over the holiday, someone had placed an online order for a book about tea, that we didn't have and weren't going to be able to get in time for Christmas. She was getting it as a gift. I was like, but... it was like, it was a nonfiction book, but I was like, but if you're open to a novel about tea, this is the one. I think she ended up getting it. So
nice. Gonna fit go into a tea.
Yeah. and then another one, for this one is Ruth Ozeki's A Tale for the Time Being. Also recommended to me a bajillion years ago, when I was teaching yoga by one of my students. It was such a good recommendation. Also sort of dual timeline, not dual timeline, but dual point of view. 16-year-old girl in Tokyo, is trying to document her great-grandmother's life via a diary. The tsunami happens in 2011, and then in British Columbia, this lady finds a Hello Kitty lunchbox wash up on the beach, and inside of it is this diary.
Wow.
And so then she's trying to, like, find out whatever she can about this girl and about this family. Girl is doing this because she was very depressed and was planning to commit suicide, but wanted to get this story out first, which is another one of my chaos arrows to Mental Health Awareness Month. So, yeah, that one, such a good book. Read it, if you haven't already. I've had other Ozeki books on my to-read list since then. I haven't gotten to them yet, but they're there, and I suspect they're also very good. If anyone else has already read them and wants to point me in a direction, feel free. and then one more for AAPI, Jhumpa Lahiri's The Namesake.
Ooh, yeah.
Bengali family relocates from India to Cambridge so that the dad of the family can be at MIT. Wife is struggling with the change in culture and also, like, giving birth to their first child. And then in Bengali culture, the way that a child is named is, like, very specific, and they end up not being able to do it that way. And so then other things happen. Very sweet family story. Really, really enjoyed that. I think they made it into a movie not too long ago, but I have not seen it.
With Cal Penn.
Oh.
Came out in 2006, maybe?
Okay.
I remember reading the book in class in college, and our teacher saying something like, there's a movie now!
Uh-huh.
I haven't seen it. Book rules.
Book is fantastic. Okay. Mental Health Awareness Month. Matt Haig, The Midnight Library. Poor, sweet, depressed Nora attempts suicide. Ends up in the Midnight Library, where she now has a chance to see all of the alternate lives she could have had if she made different choices at multiple points. This was the first Matt Haig that I read, and I was like, all right, I will read every single word this man has ever written and will ever write. So far, I haven't been disappointed.
Incredible.
Ken Kesey, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
One of my faves.
I don't need to explain that one. That's pretty one obvious why it's on this list. It's so, so good. I keep coming up with books that I want to do as my reread a book you loved, and now I'm just gonna have, like, it's gonna be impossible to pick one,
but yeah,
that's in the running.
You should have every single book double as one that you loved.
I could.
You could.
That.
We have the technology.
And then Murakami Norwegian Wood. Depression, PTSD, borderline personality disorder. It's got everything. I hate loved it.
Yeah. Fair.
I was like, this is so sad. Why am I doing this to myself? But it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
That's why I kept doing it to myself.
Yep.
Tim didn't realize that I owned it and, like, found it in a little free library walking the dogs one day and came home. And it was really funny, like, watching him read it. He has a lot of heavy sighing.
Yeah.
Like, putting it down, being like, why am I reading this? And I was like, I know, right? But, like, keep going. And same ultimate reaction is like, yes, this book is fantastic.
I love Murakami.
Despite how upsetting. Those are all my mental health. So those are all my, like, real things that get celebrated in May. It's also dental care month.
And as everyone knows, teeth aren't real.
So this was one of the ones that Ashley texted us as an option to talk about. She was like, so if we've all talked about our mom books, it is Dental Care Awareness Month.
Which I do have a book for because it was my favorite Reagan review of all time.
Oh.
It was the last one she wrote before she left us.
The bookstore, not the earth.
Yes.
I don't know. She could have been called back to her home planet.
That's, well, that's true.
That is true. Has anyone talked?
I think Sam has.
Okay. Yes.
Right. Sam gets weird unhinged texts every once in a while from Reagan.
Love
so.
That. Okay. So she is maybe still on earth.
Yeah.
Not on her home planet. It really is just an excuse to bring back how much we all love Victorian Psycho.
Yes!
Should you have forgotten Reagan's review of this delightful little book? It begins, Miss Winifred Naughty has 33 teeth, and most of them are hers. Dental Care Awareness Month!
Dental Care Awareness Month! And as I did point out to Ashley at some point, I could probably go through the horror section and find a whole stack of books that fit the teeth.
I don't even think it would take you that long.
It would not. I could do it very, probably terrifyingly quick. But I didn't do that. I was, earlier I was standing in the horror section just looking, which I do, just
hanging upside down.
Yeah. I just lurk in case someone wants me to recommend them things.
We pull on the torch and the shelf spins around and out pops Ryan.
I just gaze upon the books that my friends have written. And I was like, wow, I have talked about, like, all of these on the podcast already multiple times. People are sick of them. Well, I mean, maybe not, but I've talked about them all. So I was like, all right, what can I talk about that I haven't talked about before? And then I started thinking about how I get a lot of book mail. I like to play the ARC fairy sometimes, where a publisher will send me, like, a box of ARCs, and I'll keep, like, one or two for myself, and then I will run around the bookstore and be like, this one's for you, and this one's for you, and it's based entirely on vibes, but I'm usually pretty spot on when I hand someone a book.
Yeah.
It's how Kate got the Oye Yummy.
It is. You threw two at me yesterday that I'd never heard of, and read the back and immediately went, yep, this book's about me. Good job, Ryan.
Yeah. So, I thought it would be fun to talk about some books that aren't out yet that maybe you should pre-order. And what's going to be fun about this is there's a couple of these that I have already read. And then the rest are ones that I have gotten in the last, like, day or two that I know basically nothing about, and I'm just gonna read some of the blurbs on the books, and you can decide if you want to pre-order them. But so I have to start out with Play Nice by Rachel Harrison. Oh, how I love her. Oh, I will read everything she writes forever. I had been waiting for this book to show up on Edelweiss as available to read for weeks and weeks and weeks because she literally messaged me the day she sent in the, like, final edits, and she was like, the publisher has it now, it'll be with you soon. And I was like, Rachel, how could you do this to me? Now I'm just foaming at the mouth. And it got to the point where literally every single day I was refreshing Edelweiss just to see if it would show up, because I had it, like, listed in my highly anticipating, but it wasn't ready to read yet. There was no, like, click the button to read this. And so every day I would refresh it just waiting to see the little button. And then finally one day it showed up and I screamed. And I said, the rest of my day is booked. Ha ha. And I read it in one sitting, and it was brilliant because, of course, because it's Rachel. I think every book that she writes gets a little more specifically written for me. Like, every single one, I'm like, wow, that feels like a specific call out to, like, that sounds like a member of my family, or like, oh, that's my grandmother's name, that's weird. And this one, I was laughing so hard because, the mom in this book, who has passed away, but when she was alive was an alcoholic narcissist. And I went, I had one of those. I was like, Rachel, hey, wait, what have we talked about?
Did all of these come with a Ryan bingo card, or is this just mine?
Wait a minute. So this book is about a possessed house. So not a haunted house, a possessed house. Ooh. And our main character Cleo has inherited this house, and her siblings are like, yeah, we're just gonna sell it, we don't want this house. And she's like, well, okay, can I, like, I don't know, deal with it a little bit, like, let's, like, I don't know, let's, she, like, doesn't want anything to do with her mother. They're, like, pretty mad at her that she doesn't want to deal with her mother. She's like, well, mama's an alcoholic and a narcissist. Why should I deal with her? They're like, we're just going to, like, clean slate this. She's like, okay, but, like, I think I can, like, fix up the house and, like, sell it and, like, whatever. Anyway, she goes to the house and she starts experiencing things, and she's like, you know all those times that we said that mom was crazy?
Maybe not.
Maybe there is something in this house.
Maybe.
It is such a fun take on the haunted house trope. It is scary. It is fun. It is one of maybe my favorite of Rachel's characters in this book. I literally couldn't put it down. The house itself is a character, and it is horrifying, and I love it. It's great. So that comes out in September, and we are, I don't think this is a secret, we are working on scheduling an event with Rachel for that, and you should all come, because it's gonna be a party. It's gonna be a great time. We might have some other horror authors here for that. It's gonna be great.
We're gonna source a local spirit to possess the bookstore for the night.
For that night only.
It's gonna be awesome.
The next one I am excited for, and I have to see when this one comes out, because I feel like it's soon. Hang on. Oh, okay, September. All right. So another September book. And this one. Oh, boy. This is the new Sarah Gailey book.
Ooh.
Now, Sarah Gailey can do no wrong in my eyes. She can write in any genre and be perfect at it. And this one is Sarah Gailey doing horror. And it's Sarah Gailey doing erotic horror?
Oh, my.
Sort of. This was recommended to me by author of erotic romance, Katie Robert, who loves reading horror. And so they always, after their events with us, end up next to me just chatting about what horror they've read recently. And, like, Elizabeth is on the other side, like, this conversation sounds fun, but I'm scared. Can I tell you about the romances I've read recently? This book is called Spread Me.
Oh, boy. You told me about this. Okay, I know where we're going.
So, all right, here's how I describe this book without getting too explicit. This book is like a locked door of The Thing, the movie, The Thing, like horror with sexual tension. Pulsing and oozing through the cracks and rattling the doorknob. Our main character, Kinsey, is like really, really into the idea of viruses. Like really into viruses. So it's set on a base in like the middle of the desert, and it's this research team, and they are, you know, doing like exploring and experimenting, and they find this dead animal that looks just wrong. It's like, it looks like a dog, but it has too many legs. Like, it's just, they're like, what is this?
Maybe a dog?
Maybe a dog. And being, you know, research scientists, they bring it in to their research building. Some things happen, and whatever sort of virus this entity had gets out. This book is really weird in the best way. Like, this book is so gross and so upsetting and so much fun and like it is. I loved it so much, and I don't know how I'm going to necessarily hand sell it, because it's like a very specific person who will enjoy this book. But it's, yeah, it's real good. And it's going to be one of those, like, just trust me. I will say, if anyone has read any of Alison Rumfitt's books, they will like Spread Me by Sarah Gailey. It's a similar energy to the types of books that Alison Rumfitt writes. And Eric LaRocca, too, I think. Okay.
And I must say, before it's too late, there's definitely sexual tension in the movie, The Thing.
Oh, yes, very true.
Especially between Kurt Russell and the robot chess.
Yes. But, like, imagine if it was, like, sexual tension between Kurt Russell and, like, The Thing. But, like, not even the thing itself, but the idea of having the thing.
What makes the thing the thing?
Yes.
What about when Keith David and Kurt Russell are like, is one of us the thing? I don't know. We could be the thing. We're both real hot and it's real cold out here. Welcome to my fanfic theme, Kat. Talking about The Thing.
Oh, amazing. So that's Spread Me by Sarah Gailey. Comes out in September. I just trust me, I guess. Just trust me.
I can't wait.
So now I'm going to... I have a little stack of books next to me that I received today and on Tuesday. And I'm just going to go down the list. The first one on top is a book I'm so excited to read because I loved his previous book. This is called Exiles. It's by Mason Coyle, and he wrote William, which is that creepy, like, AI smart house horror novel that I really, really, really loved. And this is a terrifying locked room mystery. And Clay McLeod Chapman has a blurb on it. I think he has a blurb on, like, three of the books that I'm about to talk about. The man can't stop reading. And he says, Mason Coyle just brought gothic horror to Mars.
Whoa.
What?
Say less.
So, yeah, it's science fiction and psychological horror. It's a human crew sent to prepare the first colony on Mars, and they arrive to find the new base half destroyed, and three robots sent to set it up are in disarray. The machines have formed alliances, they've chosen their own names, and they've picked up some disturbing beliefs.
This sounds awesome.
Amazing, right? Each must be interrogated, but one of them is missing! In this barren, hostile landscape, even machines have nightmares, and the astronauts will need to examine all the stories, especially their own, to get the truth. Sign me up. This comes out, another September book, September 16th this year, and I can't wait. His book, William, is so, so good. The man is so good at writing robots and AI, and I can't wait for this one.
I don't know, guys. I'm starting to think maybe going to Mars is not a good idea. Maybe. Seems like everything kind of goes really horrifically wrong every time.
Every single time.
But what do I know? I'm just some lady in the closet at the bookstore.
Ashley is already reading
I'm
this
sold
book.
On page one.
I know, we're going to fight over
Which
this
Which is song. Also chapter one.
Incredible.
Ooh.
The beeping won't stop. The beeping is sound become pain. The beeping is the pulse of eternity. The beeping is what I deserve. The beeping is waking me from the longest sleep of my life.
Ugh. Mason.
10 stars, no notes.
Mason, I love you. The next book that I was sent is called The Night That Finds Us All by John Horner Jacobs, who is the author of A Lush and Seething Hell. Dude can write a title, let me tell ya. This one has both a Clay McLeod Chapman blurb and a Chuck Wendig blurb.
Oh, boy.
Hey!
So I know I'm going to like it. Chuck Wendig says that John Horner Jacobs has crafted a masterful tale of uncanny alienation at sea with a protagonist whose sharp-tongued voice alone is worth the price of entry. Clay says that it is a cosmic master and commander, blending Melville and Lovecraft with an added dash of acidic humor to keep the scurvy away.
Salt.
Ooh.
I love authors writing blurbs. It's my favorite thing.
I hope there's excessive information about the history of whaling in there.
Gosh, I hope so. Let's see. So, Sam Vines is struggling. Her boat is dry docked, and she doesn't have enough money to get her back in the water. Turns out the snorkelers and scuba divers are looking for an ultra-luxury boating experience these days, not the single-handed snarky stylings of a sailboat captain, Samantha Vineyard. What a great name. So it's a good thing when her former crewmate, Loik, what a name, asks her to deliver a massive 100-year-old sailboat from Seattle to England. The Black Watch is a huge boat, an ancient boat. It's also probably definitely haunted. Sam's alcohol withdrawal, sobriety is important at sea, has her doubting her senses, but when one crewmate disappears and another has a gruesome accident, she knows that this simple delivery job has spiraled into something sinister.
Hmm.
Incredible. Fun. We love boat core.
Yes.
I am all about boat core. There we go.
Shanty o' Doom.
Yes.
I was thinking maybe it was Knight with a K and it was some sort of Crusader boat, but this is even better. All right,
Haunted
so Crusader boat. That's another thing I need to add to the list.
And then let's see. One of my reps sent me a couple of books. Shout out to Megan. She also sent me a tiny tote bag for
so
the girls.
Cute.
This one is called The White Octopus Hotel by Alexandra Bell. And just looking at the cover, it's giving Alice in Wonderland vibes, so I'm immediately in. It says, journey to a magical hotel in the Swiss Alps where two lost souls living in different centuries meet and discover if behind the many doors lies a second chance.
Hmm.
Yeah. It sounds cute. It's like historical fantasy. Kate is delightedly flipping through the Boat Corps book right now.
It starts with a quote from SpongeBob SquarePants. I have never been so happy in my life. Nautical nonsense is something I wish.
Incredible.
It's going to be a good year for books.
Yes.
This is going to be a good year for books. This interesting historical hotel book comes out in October.
Spooky time.
It says, "Behind every door, a second chance." I'm intrigued. It seems,
right,
I think it's set in like 1935.
Everybody was having a great time.
Yeah. What a wonderful time in history, huh?
Good old days.
It says, when reclusive art appraiser Eve Shaw shakes the hand of a silver-haired gentleman in her London office, the warmth of his palm sends a spark through her. Aw.
Uh-oh.
His name is Max Everly. Curiously, the same name as Eve's favorite composer, born 116 years prior. And she can't shake the feeling that she's held his hand before, but where and when?
Maybe they've met.
Maybe. The White Octopus Hotel, 1935. In this Bell Epic building high in the snowy mountains, Eve and a young Max Everly wander the winding halls lost in time. Each of them has been through the trenches, Eve in a family accident and Max on the battlefields of the Great War, but for an impossible moment, love and healing are just a room away if they only they have the courage to step through the door.
Mm.
Aww.
Do you think there's room service?
One of the other books that Megan sent me is the new Silvia Moreno Garcia, author of Mexican Gothic. Her new one is called The Bewitching, and it comes out in July. She is always, if you want a gothic horror novel, this is the author for you. It says on the back, "Back then, when I was a young woman, there were still witches." And then it says, "The Master of the Gothic returns with an eerie, multi-generational saga about three women in three different eras haunted by the same supernatural force, witchcraft." You know, Silvia Moreno Garcia doing witches? Yes.
I'm on board.
Immediately, yes. Like, I don't even... I don't need to know anything else. I'm gonna read it.
So you'd say that's not a maybe.
That one's not a maybe. That one's a yes.
That's a hard yes.
And then this one I'm very excited about because Megan said that she writes me little handwritten postcards when she sends me books, and she said that she read this one and absolutely loved it, and she has great taste in books. This book is called Slashed Beauties. It's by the author A. Rushby. It's on sale again in September. And I'm just gonna listen to this right here. A gothic feminist body horror in two timelines revolving around three anatomical Venuses, ultra-realistic wax figures of women that come to life at night to murder men who have wronged them.
Yes!
Yes, 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 yes.
Women's yes. wrongs, yes. women's wrongs!
Yes. So the two timelines are Seoul, Korea, present day, and London in 1763. And the past and present are gonna, you know, intersect at some point. It's gonna be great.
Maybe.
The women's stories are linked. It's gonna be so great. I can't wait. It's called Slashed Beauties. Y'all need it. The cover is a wax figure in a cage, and I love her.
Yeah.
Oh, she's perfect, and I'm worried.
She's perfect. And then the last one that I have here, this is so funny because they sent me two versions of this.
Those are very different from each other.
Very different. So what I'm holding right now are two different books. One is very, very, very tiny and slim, and one is a brick. This is Tom's Crossing by Mark Z. Danielewski.
Oh.
He wrote House of Leaves. And a bunch of other stuff, too. But this is his new one. It comes out in October. It's called Tom's Crossing. And what they've done here is they've sent me the full arc, the full story, and then also the teaser edition. Because apparently all you need is the first 5 chapters to sell you. But this book, the back just says, "No one talks to the dead for free." And then the teaser says, "Enjoy this sample of the page-turning epic about two friends determined to rescue a pair of horses set for slaughter." It's a cowboy story. And that's all I know about it. But it's Mark Z. Danielewski, so...
That's all you need to know about it.
It's going to be a time.
Howdy, I'll tell you partner. That much.
So, you can pre-order it if you want. if you liked House of Leaves, go for it. Or any of his others. They're not all like House of Leaves, I will say. I don't want to pigeonhole him. He's written so many books, and only one of them is truly insane. You know, he's written other things too. He has his normal moments.
The rest, but... maybe.
So that is just like a little sampling of some of the things that get sent to me. Yeah. There's some crazy good stuff coming out this year, so, you know, they'll be on the list, and maybe you can pre-order them. And on that note, that feels like a good time to wrap up.
Maybe it does.
maybe not. Let's do it. A very quick reminder about our partnership with Libre FM. We love them. They do great things for us. They're wonderful. Kate and I were hanging out with them at Spring Forum, just gushing.
They're so cool.
They're so cool. They have a new web player, so you can use your computer to listen to your audiobooks if that is something that is helpful to you. As a social media manager, it is also very helpful to be able to take a picture of my computer with the player on it instead of trying to somehow take a picture of my phone listening to a book using my phone.
Yep.
How?
That's hard.
I need someone else's phone to do that. Not everyone's camera is as good as mine. Anyway, I'll hop off my soapbox. They have a web player now.
And
it's cool. If you're new to Libre FM, you can receive 2 digital audiobooks for the price of only 1 credit by using the code LAYDOWN at checkout when they start a new membership. They also have sales all the time and all kinds of good stuff, and we have playlists, and it's a good time to join them. We love them.
And unlike some places that have just recently announced they're going to be using AI narrators and translators. Ugh. Libro's not doing that.
Yeah. They're not going to do that.
No maybes about that.
You can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. For a shoppable list of all the books we've discussed during this episode, you can click the link in our show notes or go to gibsonsbookstore.com/laydown-books. I happen to know that I don't think any of you clicked that link to look at our list from last month, because it wasn't until Cheyenne tried to fill the display that I found out the link was broken temporarily.
Oops. Oh no.
You goobers. But I will say, we do also have an in-store display of the laydown books, so, you know, you can shop them in-store too.
We also have there's an in-store display for all of the celebrated things in May that Ashley mentioned.
Yep.
Especially over on the kids' side, except for the dental health one. But hey, I can make that happen.
Yeah.
It won't be pulling teeth.
Blah, 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 blah. And we have a pre-order display as well. So really, all the things.
We got you covered.
Yeah.
We got you. Make sure you're following us on your favorite social media platforms. We're on most of them. And all of those links will be in the show notes. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode. And consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the bookstore. Bye! Bye.